Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Puppy?
I'm pushing against puppy.
Don't do it, puppy. I've lost two months of my life.
I sent this to Josh yesterday. She's texting me during the show yesterday because she's at work looking at dogs.
Yeah. Hey.
3 hours of sleep again last night. 3 hours of sleep because of that dog.
Why don't you call the police?
I did, Jerry. They won't do anything.
Yeah, what dog?
How about the other day when Chewy said something to Joshy about get a life? And Chewy go, I can't. I have a dog.
There is this dog in the courtyard across from my bedroom window that never, ever stops barking.
Dog.
I lost my voice just screaming at this thing.
Is there a rent a dog? I think that's a great idea.
We've talked about it. You can foster a puppy.
Nah, just rent it.
I can't sleep. I can't work. I mean, I just moved. I can't move again. What am I going to do?
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Lattice.
Running around, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth.
This really bothered people. I saw folks weighing in on social media last night during the Marquette game. Marquette taking on UConn. It was senior night. Osu Igodaro, Tyler Kolick, both honored. Marquette ended up losing that game. Not a big shocker, Gabe. In fact, you said there was no way they would beat UConn not having Tyler Kolick. But the thing that divided the masses was a picture that Marquette basketball put out pretty early in the evening of two gentlemen sitting next to each other at the game, sitting good seats, front row it looked like, sitting on the court. And one was very obviously and clearly head coach of your Green Bay Packers, Matt LaFleur.
Popcorn guy.
Big popcorn guy.
Had no idea.
The other person, well, I didn't know who it was. I was like, who is he sitting next to? The caption said, bringing people together. So immediately I was like, it's got to be a Bears guy, right? So I go over to ChicagoBears.com. Coaches scrolling through. I'm scrolling through.
They got a new OC. Maybe it's scrolling through.
Exactly.
Don't recognize it.
Exactly. Maybe they work together. I'm thinking maybe they work together. These two guys work together at some point. And then I was like, wait a minute. Is that Matt Eberflus? He looked good. He did not look the way that my brain had remembered him.
Like a dork.
And it got me thinking, guys. There's been a bit of a glow up there for Matt Eberflus. And I was just talking with the guys over on 620, and Eric Bilstead said the same thing. He said when he saw clips of Eberflus from the combine, he didn't recognize him either. He said, who is that guy? A little silver in the hair, a little scruff happening on the face. There has been quite a glow up for Matt Eberflus. But besides that, people were very frustrated about the two coaches hanging out together as though they were exchanging state secrets or something. Gabe, did you have a reaction, a strong reaction to Matt LaFleur and Matt Eberflus sitting next to each other, even for a few moments at the Marquette game last night?
I mean, I guess I wasn't bothered by it at all. Like, I guess I get why people were. I took more pleasure out of Bears fans, like Big Cat from Barstool tweeting out that he was nervous that Eberflus just sitting that close to a Packers head coach made him nervous that Eberflus was just going to start spilling those state secrets that you were talking about. Like, oh yeah, by the way, yeah, we're going to trade Justin Fields. Here's what we're going to trade him for. Like, he was just going to spill all the beans to Matt LaFleur. And Matt LaFleur, like, I am confident in my head coach. I have no problem with my head coach. He can do that. Wait. Whatever Matt LaFleur wants to do in his off time, he can do. He's not on any sort of hot seat.
So Eberflus is just a moron by proxy, like because he's affiliated with the Bears and they're a buffoon franchise. Like he all of a sudden is going to forget how to not share details.
I mean, he's got a fairly recent history being a buffoon in the buffoon franchise. So, yeah.
My first take, A, bad dresser. Horrible dresser. Eberflus.
Okay, first of all, I don't think you can talk about the way anybody dresses.
You can't. Gabe, if your hair's gray, you don't wear a gray sweatshirt, gray pants, and gray sneakers. You look like a flipping dork, okay?
Yeah, the growl
That's
fit.
Number one. Am I right, Joshy?
You can't match that much gray. Never.
I don't. Wait. Yeah, maybe.
Way too much gray.
Yeah. I guess that didn't stand out. Let me take a look at the picture.
He's got gray shoes, gray pants, gray sweatshirt, gray face, gray hair.
Yes, way too much gray.
Too much gray.
And then I thought it was a coordinator. I'm like, is he the coordinator?
His phone's gray, too. That's wild.
His what?
His phone.
Maybe it's his favorite color. He's like Elle Woods was with pink.
Gray's your favorite
color. Johnny Cash of the dull day? Yeah, that's way too much gray.
Wait, what? Johnny Cash of the dull day? What are you trying to
say? Well, you know how
band?
Johnny Cash always wore all black, yeah, which is fine. You can wear all black. You could wear all white.
Mm.
You can't wear all gray.
You got to be a certain... I don't think I could wear all white.
I believe there's a women's soccer league that has eliminated white for a particular reason.
Rainy days?
Yes.
And
let's
sweat.
Let's go with that.
No, that doesn't bother me. Did it bother you?
So it bothered people. There were people who were saying that it bothered them that the two of them were sitting next to each other. Now, to be fair, Brian D did text you saying they're actually not sitting next to each other. They were just visiting.
So Brian D was at the game last night, and I didn't even initially see the tweet. He just texted me saying that Eberflus and LaFleur were like five seats apart, and that I happened to see like somebody had reposted the tweet, so I happened to see them sitting next to each other chatting it up pregame. But they weren't actually sitting next to each other for the actual game.
So, Josh, you said at that point, no sitting next to each other. Like, you can exchange pleasantries without sitting there and exchanging thoughts.
Yeah, when I figured out they weren't seated next to each other, because as we all know, famous people get seated. They can pick and choose where to go. But when I figured out that it wasn't seated next to each other and they were greeting each other, like, what are you talking about? What is there to talk about? How's the kids? Like, to me, it's weird. I don't really know.
Joshy, I'm sure they cross paths somewhere. And typically, if you go out for a pregame, you know, warm-ups, the coaches are talking to one another because they never know when they're going to get fired. And they're all always looking for that next job.
Okay, so it doesn't bother you. It didn't bother you.
No.
Joshy, your thing was like, just keep it moving, right?
Yeah. You can nux. Hey, good to see you. Hope the kids are well.
What about a dap? Can you do the little bro hug? You know, you just kind of grab, come in for a little bro hug. That's too far?
The back tap to me, right when you're going for the hug, a little too much. Nux, a firm handshake will stand.
About a head nod.
Yeah, and I know, and Chewy, maybe it's a little different for you where you guys probably didn't like athletes don't really dislike each other that much anymore.
No, you're right. You're correct. Joshy.
Yeah, I think because like back in your day, you probably greeted guys, you knew guys from places, or if you played someone, you were friendly, but it's not like you're buddy-buddy. It just feels weird. It's like, I don't think I'd react this way if it was Dan Campbell even and Matt LaFleur. When it's the Bears, to me, it's a whole different level.
Now, apparently you put on the show sheet that Eberflus was on a tour of Marquette with his daughter. I didn't even know that was a detail there as well. Wanted to attend the game. Matt LaFleur, we have seen him at Marquette games before. We know he enjoys a good college basketball game every once in a while. Are there people, and this is what the guys were talking to me about over on 620 this morning, that you just don't want hanging out? Like, they could be the best of friends if given the opportunity. They obviously have a lot in common. They're both head coaches in the NFL. There's only 32 of those spots. But
both names are Matt.
Both, exactly. I mean, maybe they talked about that a little bit. Hey, what's up? How's that Matt working out for you? It's not so good, actually. There's another Matt in the division who's a lot better than me, and I get compared to him. But who are people that you just don't want hanging out? First thing that comes to mind for me is your ex-girlfriend and your current girlfriend, or your ex-boyfriend and your current boyfriend. Like, let's keep those skeletons in that closet, right? The more time they spend together, the more likelihood that the old guy is going to spill something that might or, you know, the new guy.
What if you end up dating your ex-girlfriend's roommate?
Your ex?
Is this a hypothetical? Or
sure, let's call it a hypothetical.
Well,
may have been a thing that happened once upon a time. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You dated a girl? Wait, hold on. Uh-huh. Wait a minute.
Hey, you dirty dog.
Okay.
Let's take it one step deeper, though, Gabe. Let's take it one step deeper. What if you dated your ex-girlfriend's sister?
No.
Yeah, that's... No.
I don't know if you have the moral high ground. Hypothetically
speaking, we're not saying this isn't... Yeah, this isn't confirmed.
I'm not sure I trust your moral compass right now. So it was a roommate, and it was not working out, but you were... hanging out, hypothetically speaking. Give me the lowdown on this.
So it was my high school girlfriend. We dated a little bit into college. And we stayed friendly. Like, we stayed pretty friendly because I would have to. She went to school at UW. And I would go up to Madison kind of frequently from Platteville, just because every once in a while you need, you know, something more than just Platteville. And then eventually my senior year, that was the only place we could go. Our catcher got in a fight downtown and the entire team was banned from going downtown. It's a different story.
It's another great story we haven't heard. Put a pin in that.
Yeah, hold on. Where the hell do you go when you're at Platteville and you can't go to the city of Platteville?
Madison.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, you jump in a car and you go to Madison. Go hang out with your friends, okay, who are going to UW. So I would, when I would go to Madison, I would either stay with my buddy who was in a frat, or I would stay with her because we were still really friendly. And, you know, one thing leads to another. You start talking with a roommate, and next thing you know, you're dating the roommate.
How was your ex about this?
I think she was weirded out at first.
Yeah.
How long did they remain roommates?
Oh, they were roommates for another year or so after that.
Just so you know, Gabe, nobody else is getting away with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nobody else.
Only Gabe.
Exactly.
How do you remain friendly with an ex? That's
a rare breed. I don't know.
You're too nice. That's the problem.
Is there anybody else you don't want hanging out? Like, I don't know that you want, some people might not want their boss hanging out with their significant other. You know, like, it's church and state a little bit. You don't want to mix, you know, across the streams. Is there anybody else who, again, they could get along great. It could be wonderful. But, like, there's just an uneasiness initially about, like, you know, is the boss going to say, oh, you know, Tony doesn't show up to work on Fridays? And you're like, ah, because you're on the golf course or something. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there as a, what are some other duos that just on principle alone, you go, I would rather not.
The thing I came up with initially right away was like, we don't have to actually worry about it, but like, if Giannis started hanging out with James Harden and they became buddy-buddy, I would be very concerned about Giannis' future as a Milwaukee Buck. I'm trying to keep it in the sports world. Like, I have friend groups that I don't want to hang out with each other, mostly because when they come together, it becomes a particular disaster and I don't want to deal with.
Let me ask this question then. Are people uncomfortable when Jordan Love talks about when he texts Aaron Rodgers?
No,
I don't think so. It seems like there's a genuine friendship there, and if you spent that much time together, I understand you still maintaining some sort of like relationship. Like, there's people who used to work here that no longer work here that we still talk to. Now they left on good terms. They weren't necessarily fired.
But if we found out, like, the text is fine, right? But if we found out that Jordan Love was going out to Cali to hang out with Aaron for a week.
I think short of an ayahuasca.
I was about to say, are we getting scared that the ayahuasca and the darkness retreats are going to be shortly following?
Well, this is the proverbial fist bump versus sitting and chatting for 10 minutes before the game, right? Like, you can give the proverbial fist bump or the proverbial head nod, but we don't want you sitting there for any longer, you know? Like, that's what Joshy was saying initially.
I'm sure Aaron's got some ayahuasca literature handy that he can just start handing out.
Does this extend to players, though? I mean, would people have the same frustration? Again, we were seeing it all over social media last night about, like, what are they even talking about? Why are they hanging out? If Jordan Love started hanging out with Justin Fields or Jared Goff, or whoever is going to be the next quarterback of the Minnesota Vikings.
Antonio Brown would be a problem. But other than that, I don't think so. I mean, if Jordan started hanging out with Antonio Brown, he'd be like, that's probably not a good idea, bro.
Okay, is there a part of you that thinks that he shouldn't hang out with losers?
Define loser.
This is what I'm trying to get to. Like, is there a part of you as Matt LaFleur's fan base that is like, well, that guy's not good enough to hang out. That guy, he's not very good at his job.
Like, if he was above 500, he'd be okay.
100%,
but because he's 10-24,
that's what I'm trying to say.
This guy's a loser.
Certain standards for who you want your head coach hanging out with.
This guy's on the hot seat. I don't want him to have his hot seat get so warm that LaFleur starts to heat up.
Put it it's a very easy one, and we've all kind of put it away because it's not necessarily nice thing to think about. But Jordan Love's been training with Deshaun Watson before. I'd prefer he didn't do that.
Oh, I didn't realize those two worked out.
Yeah, I believe it's either a QB coach or something along the lines, but they have more than a few pictures together.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Look, I hang out with the Blammer. And people think that is extremely weird. Now, Gabe and Josh, you met him. Is he entertaining or what?
Oh, no. Yeah, yeah. Once you meet the Blammer, it's very obvious why you hang out with the Blammer.
Chewy, I have a handful of friends that are just Blammers. Not quite. Blammers 10 out of 10. But I have people who simply just entertain me. They're not like they're not necessarily the best of friends. They're not necessarily very reliable or like, you know, the type of person you want to bring around mom. But you get together with them and they're a blast.
But you also don't like Angie hanging out with the Blammer, right? Like
Angie's not a fan.
Well, Chewy, I don't think, would mind if Angie hang out with the Blammer because then he would catch less flack when the Blammer came over.
Yeah. No, she's and I understand why, but I don't care. I just want to be around people that entertain me. Are you guys like that?
Yes, very much.
Well, yeah, that's again, I think that's why you hang out with the friends you hang out, because you guys keep everybody entertained.
You guys are just rolling around with laugh tracks over here. Like,
yeah. That's not how you do
it. Are you
your
funny?
Friends?
No. Get out of here. Are you funny? No. Scram. What are you doing? Just so you guys know, I'm checking out the ESPN Milwaukee talking text line here sitting in front of me. Lots of reaction to Gabe's story in Platteville, okay? Like, of all the things that we've touched on, that struck a nerve, Gabe. Yeah? I'm telling you. Yeah. Well, and there's a lot of people on there who are, Gabe, you dated both girls in Platteville? Question mark. That from Ryan and McGuanago.
No, to be clarified, they both lived in Madison.
Like, would you guys go watch a movie and all sit in the same room?
There were times where, like, in the living room, the three of us would be, you know, sitting there watching a movie, yeah.
So messed up, dude. So messed up.
All right, this could get spicy.
Answer the question before he asks the question. Would you answer the question before he asks the question?
No, it was not spicy,
Thank
Chew.
You. Appreciate that.
Damn it.
Doesn't mean you can't imagine it, Chew.
Yeah.
Everybody keep it in the pants. We've
got... They do make a wine called Ménage à Trois.
We've got Jason Wilde coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We'll talk about the Green Bay Packers. Lots of information out there. How do you think the Packers will use that first round pick? We'll ask Jason his thoughts on that. You guys remember hearing me talk about being at the State Fair last summer and seeing a sauna display. We've all had those moments walking through an expo center and thinking, ooh, I'm interested in that. Let me go check it out. Well, let me tell you, having an infrared sauna from Good Health Saunas is wonderful. It feels great for after my workouts. I can feel the extra energy and flexibility that I've gained from using my sauna. Plus, my skin looks better. And with the amount that I travel during football season, the detoxification benefits alone are worth it. And guys, did a hard workout the other day. My legs were on fire. I thought, well, what the hell? Let's give it a shot. Hopped in the sauna for 30 minutes. I could feel the soreness leaving my body. I sleep better and I feel better thanks to Good Health Saunas. If you're in the market for all of those things, health and wellness and longevity, check out my friends over at goodhealthsauna.com. Goodhealthsauna.com. Tell them Jen from Jen, Gabe, and Chewy sent you. Jason Wilde coming up next.
Ready, down, hunt.
All Packers, all the time.
We have come light years in the last 2 months, and people should be over the moon excited about that.
Okay, most of the time.
Almonds specifically, or all nuts?
Well, these nuts, those nuts, whatever nuts work.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, brought to you by Boucher Automotive. With 16 different new car brands and over 35 pre-owned brands to choose from, Boucher Automotive, we are driven by you.
Since the moment we got off the air till now, I've sneezed like 6 times. We're going to do our best.
How many more before you're like concerned?
So Dario will say, I got 20 in me. There have been times where I'll just crank out 20 sneezes. Click, 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 click. So he stops saying, God bless you, after 2. And he's like, now you're on your own.
You need more nose hairs.
Is that what you think?
Yeah, that's a filter for your lungs.
Well, it's interesting. Yesterday we were at lunch and my 4-year-old said to me, Mommy, you have hair in your nose. And I was like, well, time to take care of that. Get the old razor. Good morning, Jason. Look how I've made it through. No sneezing. How you doing today?
You are so good looking.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Good Seinfeld reference. So we were wondering... There's been a lot of chatter about this first pick that the Packers have, the first round pick. What do you think they're going to do with the first round pick? I saw a lot of chatter yesterday about the offensive line and how there's a chance that they could be without a number of positions on the offensive line, and they need to make sure that they stabilize that. Where do you think the Packers will go with their first round pick?
I was really, speaking of Seinfeld references, I thought we were going to talk about the roommate switch. But,
got it!
Do you ever get down on your knees and thank God that you know me and have access to my dementia? Yeah, I think they could go offensive line. I think they'll probably go defense. I mean, you know, not only is, and I don't think there's a safety worthy of the 25th pick, and I, based on what I've read so far, but a sneaky need for them, frankly, is outside linebacker. Defensive end now. I know they've got Rashawn Gary, and they signed him to a big extension. I know they just drafted Lucas Van Ness last year. But, you know, Preston Smith took a pay cut to stay. But I don't think he'll be playing another season in Green Bay. Maybe he will in 2025. They love Kingsley J.J., the jet plane, Enikbare, but he tore his ACL late in the year. He's probably, even if he has an unexpectedly strong and fast comeback, not going to be ready till midseason. And so I think that's still a need. I think, you know, when you look at their cornerback situation, I mean, do you believe in Eric Stokes at this point and his ability to stay healthy and his ability to be a good player, right?
You like, can't.
I don't. So I think there's a good chance that their long and storied and mediocre history of drafting defensive players in the first round will continue. But, you know, I like Rashid Walker. He's an interesting dude. I don't know if he's good enough to be a franchise left tackle. They say nice things about him, but if you listen to Bulaga, who has forgotten more about offensive line play than I'll ever know, you know, he's pretty inconsistent, and he has some good moments, but as Chewy well knows, offensive linemen, if they play 65 snaps and 60 of them are good, and five of them are really bad, then they're a really bad offensive lineman. And so I don't think they're set there by any stretch. I do get the sense that they would like to leave Zach Tom at right tackle and just let him be a stud right tackle for the rest of his career. Josh Myers is going into the last year of his contract. We know that they appear to be, anyway, moving on from John Runyon. So it's basically Elgton Jenkins and everything else is a little bit up in the air other than Zach Tom. So I wouldn't be surprised if they went tackle either. I just think that they're at a point where, other than wide receiver, where they did such a good job of restocking the shelves, and I guess tight end, where not only do they have their two draft picks from last year, but they really do like Ben Sims. I'm not sure that there's a position where I would say, well, they're not going to go there at 25.
Jason, I wanted to ask you this the other day when we were having the Aaron Jones conversation, but ran out of time. And he can be a hypothetical in this situation. But we talk about cylinders. Goody's a cylinder. LaFleur's a cylinder. And Russ Ball is kind of the forgotten cylinder. And when it comes to Goody and LaFleur, I perceive it as, all right, you stay in your lane, I'll stay in my lane. So let's say that Goody wants to go to Russ Ball and says, look, I want to pay Aaron Jones $14 million a year. Russ Ball's a cylinder. Can Russ Ball say, no, nope, this is my cylinder, you're in my territory, I am not going to pay him $14 million a year?
I don't think so. So all three of those guys, and again, I'm not going to rail against the structure once again because that is fruitless. But, you know, they love to talk about how collaborative they are. First of all, I think you're 1,000,000% right when it comes to stay in your lane in terms of coaching versus personnel. I would love to get LaFleur to actually acknowledge in some way, whether it's on the record so I can quote him or off the record so I can flat out write it, but that one of the reasons why he doesn't bother to go to the combine is because the personnel staff doesn't really care what he thinks anyway. But he has never said that to me. That is my perception, like you, but I don't know that for a fact. But
you know, they do. I think when it comes to contractual stuff, I think that's the one place where Mark Murphy really kind of gets involved, in terms of, you know, if they have a disagreement, then the three of them, Ball, Goody, and Mark, kind of get together and hash it out. So, but no, I don't think, my understanding of how it operates is Russ Ball would be deciding, say, all right, that's fine, you want to keep him, but you should rely on me to figure out the most cost-effective way to do so. And he does the negotiating. You know, it's not Goody sitting down with Drew Rosenhaus. So he's got plenty of autonomy there, but I don't think he has the ability to say, Goody wants a guy, no, we're not doing that, right? So I think that there's probably a process involved with, look, man, I understand you want him. I will do everything to make that happen. We need to figure out exactly where our line of demarcation is for we just can't go that high. But, again, I don't think Russ Ball has veto power to say, okay, you want to pay this guy and keep him? No, we're not doing that because from a cap standpoint, you're an idiot. I don't think he's got that power.
Jason, as we get closer to the start of the new league year next Wednesday, and we have Devondre Campbell has a roster bonus due in 8 days. And it seems like the talk about him has almost died down in terms of, oh, they'll just release him and get the $2.5 million or whatever it is, you know, in salary cap savings. Does it seem like to you that Devondre Campbell could be a Green Bay Packer in 2024?
I mean, he certainly could. I don't think that's what's happened, right? I mean, we tend to be, and I am as guilty of this as anybody because I'm on all of our shows and everyone has questions that I try to answer to the best of my ability. But maybe we just haven't talked about Devondre Campbell because he's not as interesting. And so the talk has died down because we haven't spent any time talking about him. I was actually, not that I wake up thinking about Devondre Campbell. I woke up from a nightmare this morning, and I was running through the streets of Milwaukee. I was being chased by bad guys. I think it's because I read Mary Spicuzza's long piece about her cousin who was murdered by the mob in Milwaukee in 1978, which is unbelievable, by the way. And so I think that I'm trying to trace back why I had this nightmare, but I woke up and I told Paula about it, and she looked at me like I was like six, and I was just telling my mom, "Yeah, I got chased by the bad guys." but I did not wake up thinking about Devondre Campbell. But subsequently, after I got done recovering from my nightmare, I was thinking about Devondre Campbell. And you're right, we haven't talked about him.
But also, Jason, because really what I think is interesting about it is, if they release him, that opens up another hole that they have to find because they need more linebackers by switching to the 4-3. Because even though they only play base 25% of the time, that's still a significant amount of snaps that you want three linebackers on the field. And presumably they'd only have two that they kind of sort of trust if they release Campbell.
Yeah, you're right. There's no question about that because they kind of sort of trust Quay Walker, and they kind of sort of the coaches really like Isaiah McDuffie. I think that they are very, very, very interested in getting him into the starting lineup. And so I don't know if that would be Campbell, McDuffie, and Quay Walker. I don't know what that would look like, right? And again, you're right. Last year they played 26.7% of their snaps in base. So if you think Halfley's going to do roughly the same thing, even with the switch from the 3-4 to the 4-3, that's not a whole lot. But you got to have at least two, right? I mean, you got to have two that can stay on the field in passing situations. So, and look, I've said this before. I am not a Devondre Campbell fan. I don't like how he deals with us in the media. I thought the social media thing about I'm not playing hurt anymore was a horrendous look. I couldn't believe he did it, and I would love to know, you know, what happened behind closed doors on that, because I just thought that was not good. And the cap savings is not colossal if you move on from him, although obviously you could do a post-June 1 designation, and then it would be a little bit more this year, and it would push some into next year. But maybe they're working on a restructured contract. I mean, I'm sure Russ Ball talked to his agent while they were in Indianapolis, but maybe they just haven't, you know, maybe the ball's in Devondre's court about whether or not he wants to restructure or if he wants to go out on his own. Because remember, this is a guy who, you know, was having a tough time finding a home. And then obviously he had that terrific 2021 season, and he got the 5-year, $50 million contract from the Packers for it. And now the last 2 years obviously have not been star-spangled awesome. Does he want to go back to being a journeyman guy, or is he willing to do kind of what Preston Smith did and take a little bit less, get it incentivized, and then stick around and maybe turn things around after 2 years that haven't been very good and have had some injury issues? I don't know that. I would say this, and again, this is just my opinion. I don't think the Packers are, like, in a huge hurry to get rid of him. Like, I know that I didn't like the social media thing about not playing hurt, but LaFleur was actually with him in Atlanta, and LaFleur seems to really like him. And so if they think that he can play well in Halfley's system, I don't think it's a slam dunk. And one of the other pet peeves I have about this time of year is that suddenly every fan becomes obsessed with creating salary cap space. And they don't, I mean, they don't need to release him to function from a salary cap perspective. The question is, do you want him on the team or not? And I'd be curious to see what kind of conversations. And again, it'd be really nice if we talked to Jeff Halfley more than once. Like right now, it'd be great if he was available again to talk about, all right, where do you kind of add on what you've seen from the guy you've been grinding all this tape. What do you see from the guys you've inherited? And again, I don't know what they think of Devondre Campbell, but I think with his ability to drop into coverage and the fact that he's a decent tackler when he's healthy, I wouldn't be surprised if they still wanted him on the roster.
Last thing for you, Jason, before we let you go. There's a snippet of a podcast circulating on social media. It is Aaron Rodgers talking ball. It is fan-frickin-tastic. It is what a lot of people enjoy hearing from the former quarterback of the Green Bay Packers. But at one point, he references the Bears, and he said, "We always beat the Bears." And it perked up a lot of eyes and eyebrows because people were like, oh, Rodgers still considers himself a part of the Packers. Is it fair to read into it that way when he says we always beat the Bears, that Rodgers still considers himself a Packer?
No, I think he's talking in the past tense about how we always beat the Bears, parentheses, when I was there. Look, I do think that, you know, I understand how things ended. I understand what he's become. I watched a clip. I don't know if it was the same one or a different one. But, I mean, look, Paula and I talk about this. The girls and I talk about this. Yesterday on the show, Jesse had a clip from him on the rundown about him wanting to play 2, 3, 4 more years. And I kind of vetoed doing a segment on him because I feel like people don't want to hear about him anymore. And for me, who obviously did the show with him for 4 years, I just, as I tell these guys all the time, I just miss that guy. And I watched that clip where he's breaking down the downfield throw to Jordy.
Yep, that's it.
Talking about the fish route. Yeah. I didn't get to the end of it because Joshy called as I was watching it. But
my bad.
Yeah, not your bad at all. No, it's my job to be on the radio. But, I really miss that guy. And it was like, I think somebody on Twitter sent it to me saying, somewhere down deep inside, there's still the Aaron we all love. And I do, man. I miss that guy. I traded with a couple of messages with him when the announcement came out about that biography, which he called unsolicited in our exchange. But I do. I miss him dearly. And, you know, I'm not going to get too far into this because, again, I'm going to talk to Jen's therapist about all my feelings. But I really do. I would love to see more of that and less of the other stuff. And I would love for our debate back in Wisconsin about him to be more about, does he still see himself as a Packer, than some of the other stuff that we've talked about.
Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. Have a great one. And you will notice, made through the whole segment without a single sneeze. So I just willed that into existence, by the way. That was a manifestation, is what that was.
Your grinder.
Yeah. Thank you for your service. Jason, have a great one. We'll talk to you again soon.
Achoo! All right, bye.
He's Jason Wilde. You can, of course, hear him right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every weekday on Wilde and Tausch, 9 to noon here on ESPN Milwaukee.
Weather is turning. That means it's time to head to Bunzel's Meat Market, 90th and Burleigh in Milwaukee, to get some great things to throw on the grill. Make plans to visit Bunzel's this week. Pick up some of the great specials that they have. The Irish Banger or Reuben Bratwurst, just $6.99 a pound. Whole trimmed pork tenderloin, $6.99 a pound. Boneless center cut pork roast, $4.99 a pound. Meaty country style pork ribs, $3.99 a pound. Those are some of my favorites to throw on the grill. Stop in for the specials, and while you're there, grab a lunch from the deli counter at Bunzel's, 90th and Burleigh. You will not regret it. Just check out their website, bunzels.com, for specials, store hours, and more.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I thought Salvation every time Army. That they hear their name when it's non-scheduled, that's what they want to hear.
I could hear Ashley laughing in the background.
Am I right or wrong?
He's not wrong. Hey, he's not wrong. He's not wrong.
He is wrong.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Weekly pulse on the Milwaukee Bucks, straight from a fan favorite and Bucks legend. Tune in to hear District with Marcus Johnson, a Bucks Plus audio production. Marcus and his son Chris, a 1995 UCLA hoops champ himself, talk about everything happening in the Bucks world and are joined by some of the biggest names in basketball. Plus, they'll answer your questions too. Stay on the beat of the Bucks and find Hear District now on Bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, if you missed any of our conversation with Jason Wilde, you can find that on Wisconsin On Demand. We were asking him what he thinks the Packers will do with their first round pick, number 25. And there was a lot of chatter yesterday on social media about offensive line and how this might be a unit in flux, while it might be a very similar rotation as it was the past year. There may be more than just one. Everybody thinks about David Bakhtiari, and the team will likely move on from him and be able to spend a little more with the money that they're recouping from that move. But there could be other spots as well. So do you think, Gabe, they are going to take an offensive lineman with that number 25 pick, with their first pick in the 2024 NFL draft?
I do not think so. I guess I'm comfortable with, and this just goes back to maybe listening to the big guy talk about how Ron Wolf built their team. I mean, they didn't really have stud offensive linemen. I mean, everybody loves Frank Winters, and he went to a Pro Bowl or two, but, you know, their left tackles, like Bruce Wilkerson, had to step in. You know, they had these different kind of moving parts along that offensive line, and they had good depth there, certainly. So I think that's what, to me, the Packers need more than anything. Like, that offensive line was not an issue last year. Maybe you had to give more help to Rashid Walker than you'd like, but to me, he held up pretty well. So maybe you just want some depth pieces. You've got a bigger need at safety, bigger need at corner. You've got bigger needs elsewhere, to me, than that offensive line.
Yeah, I mean, you need, obviously, we talk about safety. You need starters there. You need a starter at linebacker, depending on what they do with Devondre. I agree with Gabe that you need depth, and you don't need – Ron's philosophy was, because if you look at, in my day, across the board, there wasn't really a lineman that made buku dollars. Now, when Marco came up and Mike Wall came up, the two very good guards, Pro Bowl players, he didn't pay them.
Mm-hmm.
He let them go. So that's kind of his philosophy. They have a depth – how I look at this is like, okay – take all the positions. Oh, I'm cramping in my hamstring. I don't know why.
It's not really helping your athlete argument from earlier in the week.
Gosh, what the hell?
You're falling apart.
So I look at it like this. What position would be the most debilitating if they had a season-ending injury? Take away the quarterback position.
Corner.
Running back. They're okay at tight end. They're okay at receiver. I'm not sold on the D line. So you have to protect yourself against something catastrophic happening. Kind of like Lucas Van Ness last year. Could he have played if something happened to
Preston Smith?
Rashawn Gary or Preston Smith? Absolutely. So, but there is a part of me that think Goody, and it really shouldn't be looked at this way, but it kind of is going to go with the blah pick. Like, blah. Like, O-lineman would be blah, right?
Mm-hmm.
It'd be nice, but there's not a lot of fanfare. D-line would be blah.
Would you pick a D-lineman over an offensive lineman with the first pick?
I think we're underselling, and I'd love to sit down with a whiteboard and just spell this out for you guys.
That's
I think we're underselling.
Sort of condescending, but it's fine. Keep going.
No. But
I don't know if spelling is your strong suit either, pal.
But I would love to.
I think people discount the difference between a 4-3 and a 3-4. Okay? You can't go. And the reason, I'll get stupid here on you. The reason that they played so much nickel last year, because it's not because they wanted to play nickel. It's because other teams' favorite personnel group is zebra. It's three receivers, one tight end, one back. It is hands down across the board every team's, I believe, most favorite personnel group. It changes in a 4-3 to a 3-4 because when you bring in nickel as the extra linebacker, right, that other receiver, he's still considered six in the box. That other receiver against a 4-3 is not responsible for that nickel guy. It's an O-lineman, which is a huge mismatch. It's different than in a 3-4 because you have five guys on the line. Now you only have four. And if you're going to plug in a little guy, what typically should be a linebacker, I'm telling you, it spells trouble in the run game. That's why your front four have to be stout as hell, and I am not sold on Devontae Wyatt being one of those players.
So defensive line over offensive line, that's your take, right?
Yes.
Okay, just want to make sure I'm summarizing all of that stuff you just said. You would rather that they go with a defensive lineman with the 25th pick than an offensive lineman.
I think right now, Jen, defense is more of a liability defensive line than the offensive line.
Are you concerned at all about who they're losing on the offensive line? The point that keeps being made before you get to it, Chew, is that Goody is so good at finding third round, fourth round, fifth round offensive linemen that the difference between the disparity between the guys that you get in the first or second round and then those later rounds is minuscule. And I think that's fair given the track record that Goody has, given the track record that the offensive line had. Look, there was a point last year where the Packers offensive line was rated near the top of all offensive line units.
Yeah. And they sucked at the beginning of the year, though. Let's remember that.
Oh, yeah.
They were a train wreck. And then something happened. I don't know if they took to the coaching or it took them a handful of games to develop. But, yes, they did get better. But the problem is you're rolling the dice when you take a third, fourth, fifth, sixth round O lineman, whether he can play right away.
But I don't think you need anyone to play right away. I mean,
you're going to need who's going to take Runyon's spot?
Sean Ryan. I mean, Sean Ryan was rotating at that right guard spot throughout the course of the year. So if you lose Runyon, Ryan slides in. Now, that certainly hurts your depth, which is why I think that right now all you need are those depth pieces. You know, you take a tackle in the fourth round, you take a guard in the sixth, and you hope the other guys that you have can continue to backfill
the depth spots. Jason said it, the injuries last year were not that bad. Now, there are a lot of nagging stuff, but there weren't a lot of ACLs. There weren't a lot of season-ending injuries on this team, and that changes from year to year. One year you're good, one year you're bad.
Well, Chew, go ahead.
Who's going to play? If Rashid Walker goes down for the entire year, who's playing left tackle?
I guess they kicked Zach Tom over there.
What is your prediction on Yosh Nijman, guys?
He's not coming back.
I think he got to bring him back.
Yeah, I don't think he's coming back.
It seems like Luke Buck has got in trouble for saying how much they didn't like him last year. Because he kind of just went in front of the media and was like, yeah, he didn't work hard. So he's not playing.
To me, he has fallen out of favor. And I think that if they wanted him around, they would have kind of done what Chewy suggested earlier in the year and dangle a little bit more guaranteed money towards him, you know, 3-year, $15 million deal, 10 of a guarantee, something like that, where they could have enticed him with some more cash. They didn't. I think they're over him.
I thought it was Stenovich who made the comments about Yosh late in the season, saying something about he's got a long way to go.
Didn't he say someone was, the center?
Stenovich said the center was great?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember he's playing his best football everywhere, and we're like,
Josh Myers.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Okay.
And didn't we comp that with, weren't we comparing it with like Pro Football Focus? Again, I know not the end all be all, but where he was like one of the worst.
Yeah.
There was something like very egregious about like him saying he was playing his best football and then some stat pack saying he was one of the worst of the weekend. We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, but I want to put that on the poll. If you had to choose between defensive line and offensive line for that 25th pick, the Packers' first round pick this year, which direction are you going? I think it's going to be overwhelmingly defense. I think people realize that Goody has had a lot of success in the late rounds when it comes to offensive line, and they think that he can hit on that again. But let us know. We're putting it up on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. At Great Midwest Bank, the loan officers get you because they're just like you. They offer personalized service tailored to your unique situation, ensuring that you will get the best possible mortgage. With their local knowledge and expertise, the loan officers make the mortgage process smooth and stress-free. Whoo! Is there anything better than a process that is intimidating and you don't really want to go through it being smooth and stress-free? Bank better with a Great Midwest Bank loan officer today. Go to their website. It's greatmidwestbank.com, greatmidwestbank.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Husky.
What was a rebound? Rebound? What'd you just say?
Robust.
Robust. Robust.
You could say robust. Rebound. Doesn't robust sound like a nice rebound word of saying just a click below fat?
No, buddy, you're not fat. Well, you're rebound.
Well, Charles Barkley.
There's another
round mound of rebound.
On 94.5 ESPN.
She's a fire sign, and I don't really know what that means. I'm a cold night.
Best place to shop diamond engagement rings in Milwaukee. Of course, it's only at the Jewelry Center. Dean Dean, the Dancing Machine, has put together a great team of specialists that will help you bring her dream ring to life. They did for me a couple years ago when I decided that it was time to get engaged. I knew exactly where to go. I knew to go to the Jewelry Center. Now, I kind of had an idea of the ring I was looking for, but the Jewelry Center showed me a couple of different options, and I landed on what is now my wife's dream ring. Maybe you don't have an idea. Well, go to our Pinterest board, bring in some of those ideas. The team at the Jewelry Center always going to be able to help you and point you in that right direction. Learn more about the diamond jewelry selection at shoptjc.com or stop in to any one of the three locations for the Jewelry Center in Greenfield, Brookfield, or in Burlington. Make sure you tell them that Gabe and Chew sent you.
Want to tie up a loose end here when it comes to Runyon. I know that you were talking, Gabe, about how you're aware that there is mutual interest between the two sides, but there's a big but there. And the but is?
The price has to be right. The price has to be right. Like, it just doesn't make a ton of sense for me if the Packers are sitting here looking at all these other holes that they have and they don't have a ton of money to work with. They have some, presuming they release David Bakhtiari. They'll have some money to play with. I know right now they're 13 under the cap, but that's basically going to go to the rookie class. So you release Bakhtiari, now you get $20 million to play with. Like, to me, if you have somebody that you like in Sean Ryan who was already rotating in a year ago, who's going to be, no matter what, cheaper than whatever John Runyon Jr. gets, I don't know why you would bring Runyon back if he's going to make a significant amount of money. That to me is an area where you can save some money because you already have. Now, if they didn't have Sean Ryan, then maybe you feel like you have to go out there and pay John Runyon Jr. But clearly they believe in Ryan at least a little bit kept rotating him in.
The other detail of that when we're talking specifically about Runyon is the draft situation. If there isn't a deep draft class of offensive linemen, maybe you say we need depth at that position. We obviously have experienced injuries there and know how important it is to have some consistency from year to year. But because the draft is so deep, you can get those guys for cheaper than a free agent, no matter how much mutual interest there may be between the two sides.
It's probably a go see what you can get and we'll make a decision. That'd be my guess.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, he was in tears after the season because he thought his time in Green Bay was done. I think they looked at the position and said, we could probably upgrade here and spend less money.
Or stay the same and stay.
Right.
Spend less money.
Right.
More to get to in the second hour of Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Stick around.